All right, so we'll say let's continue. So we left off paragraph Chaf Hey on page Chaf Aleph. So remember, again, we're still trying to define this concept of Kirvas Elokim.
Stoves. But he might not be there.
So we're still trying to focus on, again, Kirvas Elokim. What does it ultimately mean to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we define that? So remember, we have not yet gotten to the definition. Maybe we'll touch on it a little bit this evening. So he writes again in paragraph Chaf Hey. Hayetzahara, no sin la adam lil mo Torah lekayim mitzvos. So the Yetzahara allows a person to learn Torah, to perform mitzvos. Ulam, hu ma'alim mimenu as hanakuda hapshuta. Ma hatachlis shel kol zeh. But amazingly enough, the Yetzirah, so this is amazing. The Yetzirah doesn't stop you from learning. The Yetzirah doesn't stop you from doing mitzvos. What the Yetzirah does is, you do it, but you do it without meaning. He ultimately obscures what the real purpose in all of this is really all about. He goes on, Humamid es ha'adam b'ma'ayon milumada kazeh, shalom din Torah mekayim mitzvos, v'lo choshim klal ma'atach l'shal kol zeh. How does the Yetzirah work? The Yetzirah has you learn a lot. Yitzhara has you do a lot of mitzvos, and Yitzhara just simply prevents you from thinking about what it is that you're actually doing and for what purpose. Zehu kocho shel Yitzhara. This is the true power of the Yitzhara. Who knows sin lo adam esakol chutz mina ikar. The Yitzhara lets you do everything except for the ikar, except for that which is most important. I will say again, just take a word about this. Understand that, of course, when we think about the Yetzirah, so we're not referring to, you know, the little guy with the pitchfork and the horns standing on my shoulder, right? That's not our conception. Yetzirah is not something external to us; it's something internal to us. Essentially, for whatever the reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built man almost with like an internal sabotage mechanism that very often in life we end up sabotaging ourselves. Right? Now, sometimes things don't work out because other circumstances, but more often than not, it's because we simply don't follow through, we don't carry through, and that's whatever it is. So that's when you first get Sahara. So we have almost the way what he's referring to over here of getting so involved in something and becoming so mired and enmeshed in the details that we forget to think about what the purpose is. So a person can learn Torah on and on and on and on, mitzvahs on and on and on, and yet again, one day they wake up and they realize, my gosh, I spent all of these years doing this, but yet I don't really know why it is that I'm doing it. And that's often how man works. We get involved in something. You know, you see, I always think it's interesting. You know, you always see sometimes the greatest machlokes that comes up, like within Jewish organizations. You know, whether it's a shul or a school, and you wonder to yourself, like, here it is, you have a mikdash ma'at. And you have, why? Because people get involved for the right reasons, hopefully. And then they get so involved in things that they forget about why they're doing the things that they're doing. And the moment that you lose perspective on why you're doing the things that you're doing, that's where everything goes, everything runs amok. See, that's how the Yetzirah works. Yetzirah doesn't tell you not to learn, because the truth is, no one's going to listen to that Yetzirah, because we want to learn. Yetzirah is not going to tell me not to daven or not to give tzedakah or do chesed, because I'm going to do those things. So what the Yetzirah says, great, get involved in all that stuff, and work hard and do it and do it and do it. Just don't think about why you're doing it. And then one day we wake up, and this happens to all of us, where, you know, we kind of have like this light bulb go off one day, and I realize I'm doing all this stuff, investing myself all this stuff. Why? Why? What's the purpose? He goes on, he says, Zeu koch sheitzahara. Atachlis shalakon nechsaras chasashon. A person could totally just miss out on the purpose of everything. Vimu kvar nosin lo adam lachshov akach. Shetachlis yikir vasashem. And if a person indeed thinks about the idea that the real tachlis is close to God, let's say a person thinks about that. Azayhu ma'alim es hamohus shal kir vasashem. They say, even if a person says, well, I'm doing all of this to come close to God, the Yetzirah has a way of obscuring ultimately the definition of closeness to God. Oh, shuhu maralo shekirvas Hashem hi bechol mine tzuros, page chaf beis, vahagdoros, va'al yidei kein hu marchik osom min ha'avona ha'amitis mai kirvas Hashem. Or for that matter, sometimes we just are, the Yetzirah fills us with a skewed understanding of what kirvas Hashem really is. Oh, shuhu mishachnea es ha'adam, shele kirvas Hashem zulchim rak, Began Eden Uba Olam Haba. This is another interesting one. Sometimes Yetzirah convinces us that yes, you should have Kirvas Hashem, but true Kirvas Hashem could only be accomplished in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden. You can't have Kirvas Hashem here. Uba Olam Hazeh Zelimalam in Hasagas Enosh Lahavin Mal Kirvas Hashem. But in this world, you're never going to understand such things. And I will say, this, of course, by the way, is a little bit of a tension because, you know, sometimes, you know, there are some people that always love to engage in philosophical debates about all kinds of different things. You know, it's interesting that before, the first person to write Jewish philosophy was who? First Jewish philosopher. Before Baal Tanya. The Rambam. The Rambam was really the first one to ever write about Jewish philosophy. I'm sorry? Yehuda Levi is after the Rambam. Right? So, you know why Judaism, it's interesting, Salvation has been this, Judaism doesn't really spend a lot of time on philosophy. Why? Because what does philosophy produce?
Questions.
Right. It produces more philosophy, right? Like philosophers are wonderful at creating other philosophers, and what do? They philosophize, right? And they question and they ponder and they this and they that. You know, and it's very interesting. Judaism is a very tachlitic religion. Like, we produce results. We are very goal and results oriented. So, again, I have a mitzvah. There's a maisa mitzvah. There are halachos and mitzvah. There's a way to perform it. So, it's interesting is, on one hand, you know, the Nefesh HaChaim says, that he's actually, the Nefesh HaChaim writes very interesting. He says that there's a Yetzirah in everything. He says that the Yetzirah in learning also. He says, what's the Yetzirah in learning? He says, it's lamdus. Now, this is very unique because the Nefesh HaChaim was Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Right? Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner is the father, ultimately, of the whole Brisker Mahalich. But he says, you know, there could be a Yetzer called Lamdus. A person could lose themselves. So he says, sometimes, so on one hand, a person is not supposed to lose themselves in just deep philosophical thought all the time because you end up missing out on the ability to actually do things. On the other hand, sometimes he says the Yitzhara could convince us that don't think about Kirvas Hashem. It's too esoteric. It's too removed. It's not for this world. It's for the world to come. And of course, that's not true either. Life is all about Kirvas Hashem. V'hu machnis b'machshavto shala adam. And the Yitzhar convinces us that we don't really need to know what Kirvas Hashem is. V'zehu davar sheba memela. And the Yetzirah convinces us, don't worry about it. You'll be close to God. Just do what you're supposed to do in this world. And as soon as you die, you go to Olam Haba. Ultimately, you'll feel that Kirvas Hashem. Ein tzorech sha'adam ya'asok b'nistaros. And don't think about what's going on in the heavens. So he says, this is how the Yetzirah works. The Yetzirah ultimately convinces us that those things that we need to think about aren't really things that we should be spending a lot of time on. Don't worry about Kirvas Hashem. It'll happen. You'll feel it after 120. You'll feel Kirvas Hashem. But in this world, don't worry about it. And the Yetzirah convinces us that instead of investigating and piquing our curiosity and trying to discover and understand the meaning of life, the deeper ideas, again, this is interesting because this mindset sometimes is more prevalent than we think, which is that there are those that want to explain that the whole tachlis of Judaism is just learn. Just learn, and don't worry about anything else. I'm not talking about learning versus working. I'm just saying that in terms of like what your avodas Hashem is just to learn, and everything else comes from learning. Now the truth is, Talmud Torah is very important, and learning is the conduit for everything. But learning is really only meaningful if it's accompanied by introspective thought. I have to know, you know, I think for many of us, if we went through the yeshiva system, one of the things that we often feel was lacking perhaps in our education were the whys. Like, why do we do the things we do? Why is it important? I know what to do, I know how to do it, and I know when to do it, but I don't necessarily understand why it is important for me to do. And don't just tell me because God said so, because that type of paternalistic approach doesn't really work in our generation. And what he's saying over here is that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah ultimately says, just do, don't worry about the reasons, but a person has a natural desire to understand, you know, It's the same thing. You know, sometimes you hear people say that, I hate my job, but it doesn't matter. It's just what I do to make a living, and, you know, that's not the ikar of my life. Now, I think that that's crazy, because I think work should never be the ikar of your life, that's for sure. But if you're going to spend 8, 9, 10, 11 hours during the day doing something, you better make sure that it's meaningful. If it's not meaningful and all you're doing is getting a paycheck from it, and that's the extent of the meaning you have, person's going to be miserable, and rightfully so. How can you spend 3/4 of your life doing something that has absolutely no value and no meaning? Because a person always has to know that what they're doing somehow serves some type of higher good. So the Yitzhara kind of just forces us, but the Yitzhara tries to convince us not to think about those things. Just learn, just do, just practice. Don't worry about the Kirvas Hashem. But at the end of the day, if I don't find that real sense of Kirvas Hashem, I will become frustrated with my Judaism, and it will feel empty to me, because at the end of the day, I don't really know why I'm actually doing it. So he goes on, he says...
How's that different than it going with the philosophy of just learn and don't think about it? By learning, you know, you should realize from a logical standpoint that Kiras Hashem is part of it.
So... you'll figure, and the question is, will correct. You find, I think it's correct, but I think the Mechaber would disagree. I think the Mechaber says that a person can learn their entire life and never find Kirvas Hashem.
You're saying just solely for, because that's what we're supposed to do, from a knowledge standpoint?
I'm doing the Ratzon HaBorei, I'm learning, but I think it's my Simchal Yom, that people go through the motions, they do what they're supposed to do, they know on some level what they're doing is correct, but it doesn't have any real meaning for them. I think a lot of people operate on that level.
It doesn't change you. It just stays everything like
right.
Above
but
the neck.
But his chap over here is, I think that this is actually where we're going, is it can't change you unless, of course, you understand how somehow, some way, this brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If at the end of the day, all you're doing is you're being a good soldier and doing what God asks of you, then the Maisa, that's only going to get you smart. Now, I want to point out, let's say, just
right. That's the Yitzhara?
He says, that's the Yitzhara. You say, how I wish I have such a Yitzhara like that. Right? How good life would be if that was it. But I'm just pointing out, remember, not everybody, this is a very different type of hashkafas achaim. It's a very different approach, because I think there would be many who would just simply say, you know, like almost like the shalo lishma ba lishma. Just do what you're supposed to do, and one day, somehow, the light bulb will go off. And by the way, there's merit to that. There's absolutely merit to that. You know, habituate yourself in particular behaviors, doing business. And yes, of course, you will have siyata d'shmaya. But derech sha'adam lo tzeleilech molich, and also, you exhibit HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you want, and the Baruch Hu will help you get there. There's no question. So that is a stream. I think he's suggesting something very different. I think he's suggesting that there's a way, instead of just doing, and waiting for the light bulb to go off, there is a way to kindle, there's a way to illuminate that light bulb yourself. You don't have to wait for years of going through motions in order for the light bulb to go off. I can reach a level of understanding of Kirvas Hashem. Now, I think a lot of this will make a lot more sense once we actually get our definitions. Then we'll plug it back and see where it is. But he is suggesting that, yes, a person could be an excellent behavioral Jew and still be under the influence of their Yetzirah. I'm doing anything and everything God asks of me, not a Shaila, but I don't know why I'm doing it, I don't know what purpose it serves, and I don't mean like Tamei HaMitzvos. I mean like, why am I in this? What is this accomplishing? That's the Yetzirah. So he goes on, let's go on. He says, Zos va'od rabos kahina l'tanos shal Yetzirah. So Yetzirah has many tainos like this, v'heim rabim le'ein sipur. Ulam hatzad l'shav shebohem, shumarchik es ha'adam min haratzon v'ateshuka l'havin mahi kirvas Hashem. The point over here is that the Yitzhara is distancing me from trying to figure out what kirvas Hashem is. Ulahasik hasagoch u'shis gemura b'leiv es kirvasu yisbarach shemo, Hashem yeh ba'azreinu shalom nishel l'atzosav shal Yitzhara, v'nachlit l'varir beiru gomer mahi kirvas Hashem amitis, he says, halavai we should be zocha, that Amir said, we're not going to fall into the clutches of the Yitzhara. We're going to understand what true Kirvas Hashem is. Now, I'll tell you, this is everything that the Mechaber writes in here I could always relate to. Yetzer Hara, I'm going to be honest, Yetzer Hara is always, whenever he sees that the Yetzer Hara like this is an independent entity, I always find it very difficult to understand. Only because it makes it sound like there's like some other active force that is working against us. So I think, you know, if it bothers you like it bothers me, the simple way just to understand it is that we very often lose ourselves in the details. It's what happens very, very often in life. It's my simba chol yom that most times in life when we get ourselves into some type of trouble, whether it's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu or whether it's in our relationship. You know, this happens all the time in marriages and relationships also where people get so focused on the details, right? I'm a good husband. I took out the garbage and I did this and I did this and I did this and I did the whole thing. That's wonderful. Those are details. Doesn't mean I'm a good husband. It just means I'm a good soldier, right? I did what I was asked to do. But ultimately, again, being the good husband requires an understanding of the dynamics of the relationship as well. So that's all he's saying over here. It's easy to lose yourself in details because it's much easier to think about details than it is to think about the big picture relationship. So it can happen in one's marriage. It can happen with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we have to try to work against. Paragraph Chavav. So now we're going to try to explain in simple words what is the essence of Dveikus in Hashem. Mahi osa kirvas Hashem shala amar David HaMelech alav shalom va'ani kirvas Elokim litov. So what is Dveikus b'Hashem? That's our question. Hasheila harishona shetzricha lishalhi heichan nimtzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he asks a very interesting question. First question we have to ask ourselves is, where can you find God? Where can God be found? Kishani rotzelios karav la'adam, reishis alevar hechu nimso, ukasher hineni ode es mekom himatzo, harini holich l'sham, vihineni yachol lishos b'michitzas, o lios karav elav. So for example, if I want to be next to a certain person, I want to be next to Reuven. So what happens? So I have to find out first where Reuven is. Once I know where Reuven actually, his geographic location is, I have the ability to pick myself up and to go where Reuven is. And once I go where Reuven is, I'm close to Reuven. All right. Kim okein, kasher adam mechapes rota lios karav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reishis mutal alav levar heichan habori olam nimtza. So too, if I want to be close to God, the first question is, where is he? Where is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Ilu ha'adam chav gimol. Ilu ha'adam lo yodea es mekom himatzo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person doesn't know where God is, keitzad yitachin shehu yihye karov elav. So a very simple cheshbon. Right? If I want to be close to God, the first step is, where is God? Where is God? Next paragraph. Dvarim berurim bazeh amru chazal. So chazal have a very simple statement. Les aser panui minei. There is no place that is absent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. Kilomar, shenimtza b'chamakom. God is everywhere. Ukimo shekasav, atohu, atshelo nivra ha'olam, va'atohu, mishenivra olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, you were here before the world was created, and you are the same God who is here once the world is created. Shekeshem, shekodim b'riyas ha'olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chamakom. Kein mamish gam la'achar shenivra olam, afapi, sheyesh olam v'nivroim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chamakom mamish. God is everywhere. The same way that before the world was created, God occupied every inch of space. So too, even after creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu occupies every inch of space. Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. This, by the way, is also what we mean when we say, in the opening line of Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Saman. I think we mentioned this last week also. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi means that not only do I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is always before me, because wherever I am, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there as well. Imkein, Huv Har Lanu, SheHaKadosh Baruch Hu Nimtza B'chol Makom Mamish. Therefore, it turns out that the Ribbono Shel Olam is literally everywhere. Ve'ein tzorich b'chtei lihios karov el HaKadosh Baruch Hu lenzoa l'chutz la'aretz va'af lo l'chutz la'ir va'af b'soch ha'ir ein tzorich klal lenzoa. I don't have to go anywhere to find God, right? I don't have to go to chutz la'aretz, I don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to go outside of the city, go in the city, I don't have to go anywhere. Rather, ki karov elech ha'davar ma'ot HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chol makom. It's very simply put, exactly. Ribbono Shel Olam is ultimately everywhere, and therefore, again, I don't need to go anywhere in order to find him. Ulekach, Adam yochol limtzua HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol makom, v'lihios karov elav b'chol makom. Okay, fine. Mishem is boni b'dvarim. So now, again, now if a person accepts this premise that God is truly anywhere and everywhere. Hayyala makam lishol she'ila pshuta. Person could ask a very simple question. Al divrei David HaMelech alav shalom shenea she'amar va'ani kirvas Elokim litov. David HaMelech says, for me, so closeness to God is good. Madua amar David HaMelech alav shalom b'lashon kirvas. Why does David HaMelech say, and for me, closeness to God is good? Hari mechivan she'akadosh baruch hu nimtza b'chol makom. Im ken akadosh baruch hu nimtza gam b'makom she'adam nimtza. You know what's interesting is, so one of the principles of matter is that, right, two things cannot occupy the same space, but yet that does not apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever I am, if we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, that means that even the space that I occupy, the Ribono Shel Olam, is here as well. So he asks a very interesting kasha. He says, if it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, then by definition that means that wherever I am, God occupies that same exact space. If that's the case, then God and man are always biyachad. God and man are not just close to each other, they're literally biyachad, they're intertwined. Loshon kirva, shayich bedavar shenimtza liyad hasheni. See, interestingly enough, a loshon of closeness, kirva, means what? That there are two entities. There's me and there's something else. And ulam, davar shenimtza mamish biyachad, kirva. Interestingly enough, so again, kirva means there are two things that are separate, that occupy separate space, but that can be in close proximity to each other. But if you have two things that occupy mamish the same space, then the lashon of kirva is not shayach, the lashon of closeness is not really appropriate, but rather that's more biyachad, that's together. Ulam, be'emes ha-she'ila hazu, nova'as mehagdoros sichlios, Sha'adam magdir heichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza, veheichan hu, va'azai ole biyado shaloshon kirva, lo mimatze es hachibor sheish min HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'adam, mebichinas makom. Now, the reason why this causes a problem for us is because we think about this from an intellectual perspective. And from an intellectual perspective is, if A is true, let's say A is that God occupies every little bit of space. If that is true, that means wherever I am, God occupies that same space. If God occupies that same space, then Lamaisa, we're not just close, but we are literally together. However, he says, Ulam, Mechevan, Dve Kirvas Hashem, Udvekos Bashem, Hulo Inyon Sheshach Lemusag Makom Gashmiim, Lakach in Makom Nusheilazu. So he says, but it's not really a question. Why isn't it a question? Because that question is based on understanding the nature of closeness to God from a physical Gashmi perspective. But closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not a physical issue. V'advarim yuva'oru behemshech. We'll understand these things as we continue a little bit. Ulam, etzim ha-she'ila tzricha la'ores ha'adam la'varher, ma'i kevas Hashem emes. But now what we've just done is we've strengthened the question a little bit. Because we all accept the premise that God occupies every little bit of space, which means that wherever I am, the Ribono Shel Olam is right there as well. And yet you're telling me though that despite that, I'm not biyachad with God. Somehow we're occupying the same space, but yet it's possible for us not to actually be connected to one another. So he says that sounds like an impossibility to us, because how can you occupy the same space but yet not be connected together? But he says it's only an impossibility if you're looking at this from a material, physical perspective. But from a spiritual, metaphysical perspective, it is possible for two things to occupy the same space and yet what? Still not be connected. We'll explain it, obviously, as we go on. Rak la'achar sha'adam mevin b'bar u'masik b'naf shumayi kivas Hashem. Only once a person truly understands what actual kivas Hashem is, azay yesh makom la'haskil u'la'hasik peish chavdalid hachilik bein kivas Hashem la'achtus im Hashem. So what we're going to make a distinction between is between the concept of closeness to God and oneness with God. Now, we've just introduced a new term now into our lexicon, which is Achdus Hashem. So now already what we've seen is there's Kirvas Hashem, closeness to God, and Achdus Hashem, literally oneness with God. So Yizakenu Hashem, Yisbarach Shemo, Lahaseg, Yisadram, Hasag, Yigimor. So it's interesting, he like ends off every paragraph with a tefillah, right? You know, that Halavai, we should be Zoch, Amir, Hashem, to learn these things. Because again, what he's pointing out, Ovi? I'm sorry?
And more questions.
Let's do one more section for tonight. One more. Chavzayim. Hadavar Shebura Lanu Mikol HaNiskaleel. So if there's one thing that's clear from everything we've learned until now, it is Shekirvas Hashem, he einena kirva mibichinas makom. So one thing we now know for sure, which is what? That Kirvas Hashem does not refer to geographic proximity. Now we know, the truth is we kind of knew that already beforehand, but now it's a little bit clear that it can't be mechinas makom, ela mohus kirva penimis yoser, but rather it refers to an internal sense of connection. Nisponin tchila, mahu musag karov ba'olam hazeh, u'misham nenasa lahavin penima yoser ba'olam haruchni, kirvas Hashem. So let's begin first by establishing almost like a physical definition. What does closeness mean? What does closeness mean in the physical world? What does it mean to be close to someone or something in this world? And maybe once we establish a definition in the physical realm, we'll be able to apply that to the spiritual realm as well, to Kirvas Hashem. So let's give a simple example. Niftach bidugma. Let's give a simple example. Adam yoshev beveso, umashuach betelefon. Person sitting in his house, and he's on the phone. Toch kedei sichasa betelefon, nichnas yedid leveso. So I'm on the phone, what happens? My friend walks in the house. Balabais misamein le'archo, sheyamtin ma'ad ad la'achar sheyigmor l'shocheach betelefon. So what happens? I motion to my friend, to my guest, you know, give me a moment, I'm getting off the phone, okay? La'achar shugamar l'shocheach, after I finished the conversation, who misnatzel b'fonav al-kach shu hutzrach lahamtin adesher nispana elav. So what happens? And then after I get off the phone, so I apologize. You know, this, by the way, this you could see is clearly dated. This was written before the times where it was accepted etiquette to be on the phone while you're talking to someone. You know, now, mamish, it's like, see, you know, once upon a time, if you were on the phone, you didn't speak to someone and you were apologetic. So in any case, I get off the phone, and then what happens? I apologize that I wasn't able to greet him appropriately because I was on the phone. And I tell him, now, this is going to lose something in the translation. So, right, Reuven walks into my house, I'm on the phone. I motion to him, I'm going to be with him in a second. I get off the phone. I apologize that I wasn't able to greet him nicely immediately. But I tell him, I apologize, I was on the phone with my karov. Now, it's going to work better in Hebrew than in English. Karov, of course, means my relative. I was on, but we're going to use the word karov for just a moment. So, right, my karov, my relative. Ha'oreach mis'anin. Mihua Karov, Hechon Ugar. So my guest asked me, tell me, who is your relative? Who is your Karov? Where does he live? Vahabalabayis Meshiv, Shishmo Ploni Ben Ploni. Oh, my relative's name is so-and-so. Vulgar Bechul. And he lives in Chutz La'aretz. Remember, the Mechaber is living in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm on the phone in Eretz Yisrael. I'm on the phone with my Karov, with my relative in Chutz La'aretz. Tama Ha'orech V'shal. So my guest looks at me and says, what are you talking about? Im Hugar Bechutz La'aretz. Ketzad amarta shu karov shalcha. If he lives 6,000 miles away, how can you say that he's your karov? Again, like I said, it's going to look something in the translation. How can you, remember, how can you say he's relative? How can you say he's close to you if he's 6,000 miles away? And the answer is, Heshivu balabayis, lo amarti shehu karov elai bebechina shalmakom. I don't call him my karov because of geographic proximity, not because he's geographically close to me. Ela karov shali. Rather, he's close to me. Hu ben dodi shali, he's my cousin. Kolomar ba'olam hagashmi. This is very important. Well, this will close out for tonight. In the material world, yesh beiz minei kirva. This is very important. There are two different ways that you can establish closeness. Aleph, kirva mebichinas makom. One is geographic closeness or proximity. And beiz, kirva mishpachtit, familial closeness. Av, father, bein, a son, dod, an uncle, ben dod, a cousin. Hakirva hazo shal ben dod, einena biyachas lemakom klal. When I feel a closeness to my family, that has nothing to do with geographic proximity. It has nothing to do to physically how close they are to me. Ela mechevan shehem krove mishpacha, yeshlem kirva peninis, mitzad hatolda. Because they are my family members, there is an internal connection because we share common roots, because we share common origins. Va'al yidei kein, yesh lahem kesher nafshi pinimi. And because of that, I have an internal, almost soulful connection with my family that I will have no matter how far geographically we may be from each other. Kilomar, shem hakirva, hu yachas pinimi yosemi makom. that ultimately this closeness refers to something much deeper than just geographic proximity. Hu yachas shel mekar, yachas shel shoresh. When I say that the person is close to me, my family member is close to me, what I'm saying is we share a common beginning. We share a common root. We share a common foundation. We share a common, in this case, it's a familial connection. But it's more than just that we're related. We share a common life foundation, the shoresh. Umechevan, shebemekoram v'shorosham heim echot. And therefore, because again, at our root and at our essence, we're one. Hare notzar mikach kirva nafshis penimis. So Moshe, it's an incredible yisod. That's why I could feel such a closeness to someone who is so far away. Because true closeness, spiritual closeness, we'll call it spiritual, almost like an internal closeness, is independent of geographic proximity. It has to do with a common shared foundation, a common shared beginning, a common shared root, a shoresh. Nimtza, sheish beis minei kirva. Therefore, it turns out that we have two different types of closeness. Aleph kirva b'makom. First one, again, is geographic proximity. Beis kirva b'nefesh. Second is a soulful connection. Ad kedei his kashros nafshis. Until literally, I am bound at the soul with another. So also, we'll stop over here for tonight. But these two definitions are going to be very important because now that we have definitions as to what kirva actually means. Now, again, remember, we've just defined this. This is kirva in the world of, in the physical world in which we live in. But even the physical world, there's pure physical kirva, which is geographic proximity, and there's still an emotional, spiritual kirva, even that we're able to establish with one another, certainly with family members. Now that we have those definitions, we're going to try to take those definitions next week in Meretz Hashem and to see which, if either of them, ultimately apply to kirva Hashem.
Does this apply to any relationship? Does it preclude any relationship aspect to it? Meaning, I can have a karov that I have never spoken to in my entire life. So does that apply in that situation, in his definition of...
Meaning, do I still have that kirva?
Yes.
Oh, so that's very interesting. And the truth is, that question is going to be a great question, not just for the relative, but for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Right? Can you have a kirva, even if you don't even recognize that a kirva is there? So I would think, based on what he's saying, is if the kirva is based on the common shoresh, it sounds like that person is your karov, even if you've never interacted with them, because that kirva almost is, it's a state of being. Geographic proximity has to be activated, meaning you either have it or you don't. You can't just, it's not a state of being, it's a reality. But it sounds like this second state of kirva, benefesh, sounds like it could happen even if you do nothing.
That's what we say, I thought, you know what I'm saying, like the love for another Jew, whether you know him or not, you have the...
It's there.
It's there. That's exactly what
100%. Which I think is in good. Which is that this really is the root of Avas Yisrael. I mean, what does it mean to have Avas Yisrael? This is it. This is this idea that we have this kirva nafshit with one another. We just have that connection, and I think it goes to your point as well. Even if we don't know each other, we've never spoken to each other, we've never interacted with one another. That kirva nafshit is still there. 100%. The truth is, we'll see also this. There could be even a concept like this that even goes with greater mankind. It could very well be that there's a kirva nafshis just among the entire community of mankind. Which is just, I'll tell you something. I'll shut off the recording first.